Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I am thrilled to tell you that Matt Tannenbaum is in the house. It is the first time I have seen Matt in well over a year, almost, I think almost a year and a half, if not more. And it's just a thrill to see him, and we've been catching up, and I'm very happy. Matt is the proprietor of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. They just reopened in last week, I guess.
Last Wednesday.
And
Bloomsday.
Now, we should say that the store has been regularly operating and working
on a curbside way,
but you are back. And so it's great to see you. I can't tell you how much I've missed you. It's wonderful to have you here. It's wonderful to see your terrific pile of books and know that we'll get to explore all of them with you. How was everything?
It was fun to drive over.
I haven't done that.
I haven't been in a car this long.
You've been freed. Yeah, you have to remind yourself how to drive.
Of how to do that. And they change things on the thruway since I got here.
Yeah, they do.
But I'm very pleased to be here. And yeah, we opened on Wednesday, last Wednesday. We tried to figure out a day to open. I knew it was going to be sometime in June.
Yeah.
And if it's June, you might as well open on June 16th, which is Bloomsday.
That's right.
And so we had some readings from Ulysses.
Yeah.
And we had two or three people reading Ulysses, and a customer walked by and said, "What is that book?" and we explained, and then she Googled it. She was standing on the side, and she Googled it. And
she didn't trust you that was a real book?
As she walked by, she said, "That's supposed to be the hardest book in the world to understand."
Correct.
And there we were, just a bunch of us just sitting around reading it. I don't know if this customer will come back or not.
Ulysses is one of those great books that you can read for an hour and then pick up the exact part you read in that hour about 20 minutes later and not remember if you've read it or not.
There's some great passages.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have it. Yeah. It never goes too far away from me because it should be nearby in case I need a quote.
That was Bloomsday. And it was also, if I may say, June of 71. We're still in June now, right?
Yes.
Still yep. 71. So
June
that was
22nd.
50 years ago.
Yep.
I got my first job as a bookseller.
So 50 years in bookselling. So you're celebrating 50 years of doing what it is that I do.
You know, 50 years of coming here and talking with you, Joe. It feels like
Well, I feel only cheated that I've missed the first 25 of it. Let's put it that way. Well, let's get to your list and we'll get started. I see books that some I know, some I don't know. That's always the way with you.
Right.
And I look forward to hearing what you've got to say.
I love to find a book that I know you don't know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you don't know, but you know a lot of books.
Well, here's the thing, and I've said this before, but here's the thing. We have booksellers in here every week, and they bring all the stuff that they have found, and you just think eventually somebody will find something that Matt has brought in, and it never happens. Now, the other thing I've told you before is that I go to bookstores all the time. All of the booksellers that are on this program and many more are all my friends.
Yes, they are.
I go, I visit them, I spend oodles of time in there. I love browsing and looking. And when I go to your store, I say, I've never seen this book before in my life. I've never read about it. I haven't read a review. And there it is. And it's always fascinating to me. So I appreciate you being here and telling us.
Thank you.
Let's start with a book that I have read and know a lot about.
We both know about it. No.
I want you to preach about this book because it's terrific and it deserves wide readership.
She's just one of our best friends. It's Elizabeth Brundage.
Yep.
Her new novel, The Vanishing Point. Elizabeth's first book, The Doctor's Wife. We had a big party for it back in Lenox when she lived in the Berkshires. Now she's over here in Columbia County.
Yep.
And The Vanishing Point is the story of two guys and a woman and they're all in a photography workshop, and they're all connected. The guys kind of like each other and don't like each other, and they both like her, and maybe she likes both of them, and it's hard. And then 30 years goes by,
right.
and then you have this view of what happened over the last 30 years, and I can't describe very much of it because anything I describe is going to give away what's going to happen.
There's a very complicated love triangle, and yet it is a book that is at its heart a thriller. And it is it's beautifully written. It's wonderfully told from various perspectives, which is her
forte.
Her forte.
She gets these characters, and you know, like you and I were talking about earlier. Once this one character, Theo, jumps onto the page for me,
it was.
I had a blurb for another book a couple of years ago that I'd never used for another one since then, but it's apt for this book. For when I once Theo joined my consciousness, the blurb is, "My bookmark never had a chance."
Yeah. Oh, that's a great quote.
You know,
wow.
You put the bookmark in, you close it, and then you before the pages touch, you want to open up and read again read some more.
And it's a beautifully written book, and she is I think the best book that she has written, obviously at the top of her game, and I hope it gets the great praise
and
readership that it deserves.
And
it's a beautiful book.
She was in last week or a week or so ago, and we still have signed copies.
Nice.
So
real-life signed copies.
right. She was in the store. It's mask time. We're still wearing masks.
That's all right. That's
good. But she can sign wearing a mask.
Absolutely. That
you know,
does
what
not...
a talented author. What, you know, these writers
can write,
these days.
She can sign her books wearing a mask. It's called
Thank
The Vanishing
you,
Point. It's by Elizabeth Brundage, and it is published by Little Brown. All right. Next up.
Next up, I have... You know what I like to do when I come here? I kind of group some books together.
Yes.
And the first one of the group, the lead book in this
You are
in
probably
group,
our most thematic bookseller.
is Suzanne Simard's book.
Yes.
Finding the Mother Tree, Discovering the Wisdom of the Forest. The other two books in the triage here are the two by Robin Wall Kimmerer, Braiding Sweetgrass and Gathering Moss, which are older books, which we've been selling so well. And then, of course, the overstory is the overstory about trees. And this is the
Richard Powers, the Pulitzer Prize-winning book.
Right.
Yes.
In which he has a character who seems to be this woman, Suzanne Simard.
Yes.
I can't tell for sure. But it's a fictionalized version of her. So Finding the Mother Tree, she's a scientist, and she discovered how trees communicate.
Yeah, so she basically is saying that trees are social creatures and that they communicate with each other in this cooperative way that, if we listen, can hold lessons for us lowly humans.
Right. We are, as Richard Powers says, we're the understory. The trees are the overstory.
Right.
And it's also it's her biography, it's her memoir of her time becoming this scientist.
Her family was in logging, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So she said, "I grew up in the dirt. I grew up eating dirt." You know. So Suzanne Simard's Finding the Mother Tree, and it's been our fastest selling book. I got to tell you, this copy that I'm holding in my hand is my last copy until the more come in, and I've set it aside for someone. Marcy, if you're listening, I have your book. Don't come in for it until later today. Thank
you. Well, that's right. But it'll as long as it can find its way back,
so
it'll be there by the afternoon.
But yeah, I'm coming back later this afternoon. So it's all about the nature, and our relationship to it, and as human beings, what we're doing in logging, what we're doing in foresting, what we're doing in understanding.
And did you have any idea that there was this underground network of fungi that was communicating from one tree to the other?
No.
I mean, that's fascinating.
It's fascinating, but of course they
would
do
sense.
That.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
It all makes sense. But what I wanted to tell you was that our relationship to nature is kind of like, and if we don't watch it, we're going to be the slug who used to be a snail but lost his house in the divorce.
All right. In other words, the bookmark didn't have a chance, right?
All right. Next group. Let's go on to the next group.
No, what are the other two? Did you do
oh,
those?
Oh, the Braiding, Gathering Moss, and Robin Wall Kimmerer's first book, Gathering Moss, A Natural and Cultural History of Mosses. She goes out into the, and she is a Native American. I think she teaches at Syracuse.
Oh, great.
Or she used to.
Okay.
And then her second book, which really gathered the reviews and the attention, Braiding Sweetgrass. Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants.
The book looks beautiful.
Yeah. This is the hardcover edition. It's also out in paperback. And we've been selling this book for years now, for like 3-4 years.
It's one of those fancy books that has a ribbon bookmark in it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, those are
published
fun.
By Milkweed Editions, a lovely small press.
Yeah, they're
the
great.
Kind of people that you see in the bookstore and that we try to feature in Lenox at the bookstore.
Absolutely.
So those are those two. And I'll tell you more about them, but they're older books, so I don't want to go into
okay,
a whole thing
great.
About them.
All right, I understand.
They're just the helpmates for Suzanne Simard's book.
I'm glad you brought props. They work well on the radio. Go ahead. I don't know. I don't know.
Where's the...
Did you give away another tote bag? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for... here it is. Letters...
There you go.
Right there. Letters to Commando. Do you know about this guy?
I do
Edmund
not, sir.
Duval?
No.
Edmund Duval? His first book, years ago, Hair with Amber Eyes, A Hidden Inheritance, he inherits from his great uncle a 264 Natsukis. That's the way I pronounce it. I think it's somebody else pronounces it differently. Those little ivory carvings, ivory,
oh, right.
Wood.
Okay.
Right. And he says, there's something about this inheritance. I can't just put these on the shelf. There's something about how they're made. I have to find out the story of them. And so he writes this is a family biography as well. The Hair with Amber Eyes, A Hidden Inheritance. He himself, Duval, was a ceramicist. When he inherited a collection of 264 Japanese wood and ivory carvings, he wanted to know who had touched them, held them, how the collection had managed to survive. And he writes in this book, which I've just started to reread because I couldn't get into it a few years ago, I feel like I'm reading F. Scott Fitzgerald describing a character walking down the street and wanting to know everything about that person, how his head is joined to his neck, that kind of what those people are saying, that conversation is happening there. So Edmund Duval turns out is a terrific writer. Hair with Amber Eyes is back in a new edition. And this is his second book, Letters to Commando. Commando is the house in Paris where it's a museum.
Yeah.
It's a museum that Moise de Commando turned over to the country of France. He built this mansion for his son who was killed in the First World War. And then in grief he handed it over to the country of France as a museum. And all these 18th century beautiful pieces of paintings, of furniture,
filled it with art.
Right. Yeah. And in Duval's discovery of the Natsuki and his family, and his family lived up the road from the Commandos in one of these mansions off of Parc Monceau in Paris. And Joe, I realized reading all these books about Paris, I miss Patrick Modiano. He doesn't have a new book, so I have Letters to Commando, which are... so.
We've gone through an entire pandemic, and Modiano hasn't churned out another book for us to talk about?
So Commando. So these are letters to the man who built the house.
Now, am I right, sir, in assuming that these are imaginary letters?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, these
All
are
right.
completely imaginary letters.
Yes.
So he goes into the museum. He talks about... You know, I see that it's in your instructions to the curators, you must clean everything. You must have this internal vacuum system. But you don't have any dust. Let me tell you about dust and history and what dust does. And dust leaves traces. So it's a real artist. It's a real writer writing letters about what he sees.
Right. Because this is a guy who is a master potter and
right.
he's writing these letters.
Yeah, yeah. So these books are blowing me away.
That's really good right, stuff. Right. Edmund Duval is the author
and
of the
so
book.
After no, I'm still missing one. No, here's the next one.
There we go.
The House of Fragile Things by James Macaulay.
There's only like 8 books on the table. I don't want you to think you brought like a whole cart in or anything, but okay.
So this a customer of mine suggested this book to me, and
yep.
This is the story of more Jewish the Jewish art collectors who lost their collections during the Holocaust. Right, right. And so this is like an addendum. Here, why don't you take a look at that?
I would love to. Thank you.
This is the accompanying for the Edmond Dewall books. This is
The House of Fragile Things, Jewish Art Collectors and the Fall of France. And this is by James McCauley, who is a Paris correspondent for The Washington Post, as well as a contributor to the New York Review of Books. And so he has a degree in European history. So he goes and looks at this. And the first thing I see, I see is the word commando.
Yeah. Because so everything is intertwined. So these are fascinating histories of art, loss of art, loss of life in 20th century France and Europe.
I so respect how you think about and planning for this segment.
Oh, thank you.
you have an arc, and it's very admirable. I'm not putting any of our other booksellers to shame. But I am saying that I very much appreciate that you think this hard about it.
Well, you know, when you speak of art,
I guess one of us should.
I'm not going to touch that. So, speaking of art, that's what I wanted to say about Elizabeth's book.
Elizabeth Brundage.
You know, the arc, the tension she creates in the chapters and at the end of chapters. You know, this is not just, and this happened and that happened. You have to create something like this.
Can I see the Elizabeth Brundage book real quick?
Yeah.
And then I'll let you get on to that. I don't know if I'll be able to find it. Hopefully I'll be able to find it. There's a quote. There's a moment in a book, Matt, where you think to yourself, oh, I'm in great hands here. This is, well,
yes.
I mean, like, I know her and I know that I'm in good hands, but there's just like that one sentence that says, oh, there's a lot to think about here, and that's really amazing.
And you don't know if the author has come up with that sentence long before she or he wrote the book, or it came to the writer as the story was being written.
Page 13, she's talking about the artist Julian, who is one of the three in the love triangle.
Right.
He is the less successful of the photographers, and his images, he felt, were pure, almost religious. Not that he was or ever had been at all religious. In fact, for all intents and purposes, he was agnostic. But uncannily, he believed there was an aspect of God in his work. And we talk in our book show interview, which will be airing in a few weeks on the program, about how that idea of a God, however you feel about it, of that higher power that is implicit in art.
Yes.
And it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
And I, when I read that, I thought, well, okay, this, you got me, because that's amazing. That was page 13. I mean, that's amazing.
And you were right there, right?
Yeah.
The ineffableness that's there in when you create.
Yeah, because you're doing what, if you believe or not, what God has said to have done, which is to create a world. And you are creating your own world. You are creating the inhabitants of that world as a writer and as an artist.
I love that Ishiguro was on the radio once, and the interviewer asked, how does it feel to have created an artificial intelligence character? And he said, I create all my characters.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
They're all fiction.
Is this the final book?
It is.
All right.
The Confidence Men. This one is...
The two other guests in the green room are probably breathing a sigh of relief. Go ahead. No, I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you, Joe. The Confidence Men by Margaret Fox. How two prisoners of war engineered the most remarkable escape in history. This is published by Random House. Margaret Fox is you can look at that. She's a linguist, a writer. So this is the story of these two British prisoners of war in Turkey, imprisoned in a prison with no fences or anything, in a remote part of Turkey during World War One, who are bored. And, you know, prisoners of war, they got nothing to do.
The war is so boring to them.
So there's a group of them. They're learning French. They're learning Spanish. They're trying to stay engaged in their own lives. And one of them gets a message from his aunt back in England. Why don't you pick up a Ouija board? So they fashion a Ouija board, and they convince their captors that they can tell the future. And they can find hidden things. And it turns out that the guards are looking for this treasure. And these guys like pick up on that and say, oh, the treasure? Oh, you mean the Armenian treasure? Like that was just a shot in the dark. Do you know about the Armenian treasure? Well, just everybody knows, you know. And they convinced them, and they engineered their own freedom. I haven't read the whole book yet. So, and there's adventure plus adventure, you know.
Very much a thriller.
Yeah.
A nonfiction thriller.
A nonfiction thriller. But so engagingly written.
The Confidence Men, how two prisoners of war engineered the most remarkable escape in history. You know what's cool is I've seen this book and I've never noticed it before, but they show the fighting forces halfway through of silhouettes of them, but overlay there is a Ouija board.
The Ouija board, right.
Yeah,
right,
I didn't notice that until you mentioned it. So it is by Margaret Fox and it's published by Random House. So what else do we need to know, sir?
What else do we need to know? We're open now, back to our regular hours, 10 to 6 on Monday through Saturday.
What if I want to get 10 lit?
10 to 4. If you want to get lit, you can get lit because since we are requiring masks in the store, we have moved Get Lit to the sidewalk outside with the blessings of the town. And we have Get Lit is now al fresco. We have bistro tables and you can come and on a hot summer day,
yep.
We have the wine coolers. You can have your glass of white wine that's chilled. And then we also have one table of the five that we purchased.
Yeah.
in front of our secondhand store. So we had to engineer a worldwide pandemic to get to expand. What we've done, we have a pop-up store, a secondhand store where the old health food store used to be, and I have several thousand used books that I've been collecting over the years in the basement that I've been trying over the years to bring up and sell, but I never had enough room or time. And now we have a whole store, and that's open from Thursday through Sunday, 12 to 5, and other hours when our secondhand bookseller. He's not a secondhand bookseller, but
he's
there, right?
You've been doing it for 50 years. if you ain't, he ain't.
So that's called the used bookstore next to the bookstore.
Well, I can't tell you how good it is to see you in person. I love this. I love that you're back here. I thank you. Congratulations on staying open, staying so relevant, staying so wonderful.
The GoFundMe is from the community. It really just kept us going, and we were able to stay open.
And a great article in the Berkshire Eagle.
In the Berkshire Eagle last week, right.
That's great.
Right,
well, good for you. For more information on the bookstore in Lenox, you can visit them, 11 Housatonic Street in Lenox, Massachusetts. You can also visit them online at bookstoreinlenox.com, bookstoreinlenox.com. Matt Tannenbaum is a dear friend. We thank him for being here. Go forth, sir. Enjoy the rest of your day. Get that book back to their customers right. So before they're going to need it. They need to read about trees and communication and the like. I can't wait till you come back.
I'll see you next time.
Excellent. Thank you. Joe. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.